All right, good afternoon. I first want to thank everybody for your patience for the press conference here. 2014, excellent season for us, something we're very proud of. I think it's important first to, you know, thank our organization, you know, the commitment to football, to our team. You know, if you look at the resources they've given us with the new facilities and some of the changes that we've been able to make, I thought they really impact our success this year. Our fans, I understand your disappointment. We're right there with you. But I think our home field advantage was second to none. I felt like we really improved in that area. The home games were tremendous. The traveling on the road, I mean, the fans in Seattle, it was awesome. So the support has just been incredible from our fans, and I thought they definitely took it up a notch this year. The team, I think you have to, you know, the players, the coaches, the support staff, their commitment, the preparation, you know, our football IQ, I think was probably the highest of my tenure here of this football team. I thought our guys did a great job, you know, each and every week preparing and obviously performance. So I'm very proud of what was accomplished there. And, you know, with that, my thoughts on the NFC championship game, a very, very disappointing loss. Definitely a game we felt like we had, you know, plenty of opportunities to win. I felt like we let it get away. I'm thinking through the game. Special teams, definitely a tough performance for us. You know, anytime you give up, you know, give up 7 points and have a turnover, very difficult to overcome that. Especially, you know, when it occurs in the second half like it did. Defensively, really, it was something we were really confident going into the game. We felt strongly that we'd be able to handle Seattle, keep them under 17 points. And I think the first 11 series of football was tremendous. So we just, you know, just didn't finish it there in the overtime. Offensively, I went into the game. I thought the guys, we had a very good plan. Some of the things we did at the line of scrimmage in that environment was the first time we've done it. Was very impressive. Running the football was a priority when you go against an excellent defense like that up there. So the 2-minute drive, they overcome the adversity that we went through right at the end of the game, I thought spoke to, you know, it was a real testament to our football team and particularly our offensive group and particularly Aaron Rodgers. So tough loss. Really, you know, the evaluation process starts now. This is really my first order of business. So you should feel good about being first in line if that does make you feel good. But we will start the process of change, you know, adjustment and emphasize, just like I do each and every year as we prepare to build a roster and our, you know, try to adjust our program for the 2015 season. With that, I'll take your questions.
Mike, first of all, condolences to you and your family. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
You said change. Do you anticipate change on your coaching staff specifically with that special teams unit?
Well, I just, you know, I thought it would be the second or third question, but I mean, every year, I mean, that's, I know you guys come in here and not every year, but it's important to evaluate. You know, I obviously haven't had that opportunity. So we'll look at everything. You know, we'll look at every job description, every job responsibility, performance, you know, mine included. So, and we'll look to make changes. I thought the changes we made last year, there's definitely benefit. Some of the things we did from a program standpoint were definitely reflected in the health of our team. And it was a unanimous opinion. You know, speaking with the players in the exit interviews, that the changes that we made definitely were for the, you know, the best interest of the team. So that process will begin.
Mike, so whether you're going to make a change or not, what is the process? How do you go from now to whether you make a decision, whether you're going to make a change or not? How do you go?
Well, the first thing with the coaches, what they have done last week, they're off this week. The coaches go through, do all the rankings. We have a format that we follow, obviously gathering information, documentation, and things like that. And then you have your, you know, then you start having exit interviews with the coordinators, and then you know, go through all the assistants. So it usually takes about a good week or so to do that.
Mike, can you talk about just the overwhelming support you've received from the Packers organization in recent days? Thursday is a very good full time.
Unbelievable. I'm not going to be able to talk much on it. Just incredible. And thank you. Thank you.
Mike, when special teams go bad, is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it emphasis? Or what happens with special teams?
Well, special teams is no different offense and defense. I mean, it comes down to, healthy scheme, knowing your opponent, you're looking for the personnel matchups, and ultimately executing the fundamentals. So, our special team errors have been critical more because of the timing of it, and it definitely showed up in the Seattle game.
Mike, four years ago when the team was coming off the Super Bowl championship, you made a point of getting the team in the mindset of being of hunting and chasing. I know it's real early, but have you given any thought to the mindset you want to have for the team next year coming off of the way this season?
No, I haven't. I haven't really had time to really reflect on the season. So, but we will, go into 2015. It'll be its own opportunity. We'll continue to build and create the program that puts us in position to win championships. So, I mean, that's the way you start. That process will probably really get started on Monday or Tuesday next week. Ted's already started on the college draft. We have a system and format. We believe it works. The way we develop our players, the training. We have construction again this year, so the commitment to continue to give our players the best opportunity to be successful on Sundays is at the forefront of our thinking. And we'll go through it. And in 2015, we'll have a different opportunity than 2014.
I don't know if it was something you talked about during your player interviews at the end or if it's something for when you guys get back together later, but how do you try to turn this into a positive rather than having just something, a long-lasting hangover?
Oh, it will be a positive. Every game you compete in is a unique experience. And the only way you benefit from that experience is you have to be able to learn from the victories and the defeats. I mean it's a mindset of an alpha. It's a mindset of a champion, and that will never change. The 2015 football team will not bear the burden of what happened in 2014 or before that. That's not the way we operate. We won't internalize the things that go on outside of our building. We're going to create another opportunity to build the best football team that we can in 2015, and then we're going to go for it.
Mike, in that same vein, what did you learn specifically from the NFC Championship game, if ever it is my experience?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, it's we treat big plays as one of the five fundamentals of Packer football. So big play production you have to have to win in the National Football League. And Seattle made the big plays down the stretch, the most critical time of the game. So it's staying after the fundamentals and applying to everything you do, and that's how you win.
Mike, did you see in the clips what the Seahawks were saying about the field goal and keying on Brad Jones and things like that?
I did not read it, but Jason has informed me.
So that great scouting by them, I suppose. Was that something that you guys, when you hear that or find out about it, is that something where do you wish you had seen that in your own yourself scout, or is that just a great job by them? Or
I don't think it's as much as a self scout. It is as much as it as what your call is in that situation. I think is really what Seattle benefited from. It was a heck of a play by John Ryan and so forth. But I think you have to really look at it from that standpoint. I think after if you look at that particular series, the third down conversion that they had, the second down and the third down conversion they had, walking out of there with a field goal at 16-3 is fine. So creating the opportunity for them to make a big play is where we erred.
Mike, was there an oversight that maybe your guys weren't more prepared for a fake there just because of the way they're...
Well, I mean, fakes are risky. I mean, it's, and John Ryan can run. We know that. I think it's, from a responsibility standpoint, the pursuit and so forth, I think it would have been a foot race for the first down. So hey, we did not execute, you know, our particular responsibility to the best we can, and they had a better play call than what we had called.
Mike, on that drive, you had the play where Clay got the sack, I believe, backed him up. Okay. And there was a penalty on them. Can mm-hmm. you give an explanation for why that wasn't a dead ball penalty and assessed on top of the sack?
I don't recall, to be honest with you, Rob. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, speaking of Clay, what was going on with him late in the game? Otsi and I noticed that it looked like he may have gotten dinged before that series. Did he get looked at all by the doctors for a potential concussion? And what were the doctors, if they were looking at him?
I don't know about a concussion. I know he was being looked at there at the end, you know, his knee. But, you know, he did have a couple of collisions. There was a – and we may be talking about the same play. Because I know I saw it, and I actually walked towards him. And because Jordy even Nelson waved to me. And then I talked to Clay, and he just said, you know, he said he needed a minute, and, you know, looking him in the eye and everything, I didn't see any reason for concern there. But as far as, you know, the doctor, especially being a play caller, I don't get every play-by-play of, you know, what every guy was looked at during the course of the game. I really don't even get that till after, like, a home game, until I go back through the training room. And, you know, then I have a list, and we go through each guy he has seen. So, you know, I'm just the way we're structured. Unless it impacts the game as far as a player injury, I'm not really notified.
Mike, do you prioritize your list of free agents? Does Ted do the same thing? Then you come together to discuss it? And how's that going to work with your list of industry?
Well, I think free agency is it's an ongoing conversation. You're talking about our free agents, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, we want to sign our guys back. I want all of our guys back. It's usually my thought going into it. That process really hasn't begun. This is an emphasis right now is on the college draft. This is kind of how we always have always done it, and you know our scouting department has started that process.
Just in terms of learning from wins and losses, I mean, do you wish you did anything different in terms of play calling decisions with this Seattle game?
Well, I mean, I think there's always plays you go back and look at. You know, I take full responsibility for everything that goes on in the game. So, you know, as far as regret, yeah, I regret not ever doing enough to help the team win. That's how I feel after every loss. And obviously this is magnified because it was the NFC Championship game and we were in position to win the game. So, I mean, particular play calls, I mean, would you be more specific? Or?
I mean, the quarterback mentioned that there are times where maybe you could have been more aggressive as a team in certain moments. Do you wish you more aggressive at times?
And aggressive, you talking runs over passes or passes over runs? Or
maybe going for it early in the game, maybe
fourth and ones?
Ball late any instances?
Well, was the first fourth and one was on a second series there. I'd actually called the fourth down play when I called on the headsets that my third and fourth down calls would be 92-93 ISO wing rifle. But with that, the penetration I saw on the second down, I saw it again on the third down on the backside. That's why I decided to kick the field goal there. I think the one where Randall, we had the ball on the third down, he caught it. I think the call we have is called Duke is the route concept. But if I recall, it was fourth and two. So I took the points there. And I know there's one more. A little higher in the red zone. So, I mean, I think it's convenient to go for it now. But, you know, like I said, you have a game plan. You feel how you match up going into the game. Was very confident in it, defense going in and just the way they started. You know, it's 11 series into the game. You know, our defense has kept our opponent to 0 points. You know, and that's where my confidence was.
Mike, how difficult is it to watch a Super Bowl in general when you're not playing and difficult this time?
Oh, that's hard. No, that's definitely hard. I think you have to, you know, I think you have to go watch it somewhere where you can watch the game. You know, I've made the mistake and try to watch with you know, family and friends, and that's not fun because, you know, they say things that they shouldn't say to you, and it'd probably be a lot harder this time. So, yeah, I like to watch the game you know, so. But heck, I'm not sure what we're doing yet.
Mike, are you going down there to Saturday?
I'm going to try to. Yeah, I'm going to try to get down there to see Aaron and go to the event.
on back to Clay for a second, but in a different way. Have you given much thought about where he lines up in 2015, or was this such a good experiment that maybe it's something you want to stick with, or is that kind
of? Well, it's really come, you know, coming off of last year, moving him around, and I think that not only what we accomplished with Clay, you know, specifically, but I think the fact of the matter that we were able to be more flexible in how we utilize Clay and Julius and, you know, the elephant position. And I thought all those changes were very positive for our defense. And the way the play time was distributed, you know, the stress that you're able to apply with different, apply to the opponent with different matchups and those types of things. So to answer your question, I mean, Clay's an outside linebacker. I mean, I think we all recognize that, but he was very productive in his role when he went inside. So I think as we build our roster and go through the player acquisition phase, I mean, there'll be more answers, you know, hopefully more options, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Mike, could you talk to Julius about why he told Morgan to get down? Was that a mistake? I mean, it's easy for me to look at the all 22 now and go, oh, my gosh, he's got that left sideline. But
yeah.
As you look back on that play, that was – I mean, that's supposed to happen.
Well, I think what you – I mean – hey, you know, you got when I look at things like that, everybody on the field and every coach, you know, it's at a certain level, you have decision making responsibility, you know, and you know, obviously Aaron on offense has the highest level of decision making responsibility, and our offensive line has more than we've ever done, you know, defensively with Dom making the call, but there's still adjustments built into. You know, for AJ or, you know, Brad or, you know, Sam, as far as the adjustments or the D-line, whether, so, there, I mean, there's decisions that are made on every single play. I mean, it's, you know, people want to talk about blocking schemes right after the game. I mean, you know, you call an outside zone run and you could have, you know, three or four different combinations based on what the technique or where the linebacker is, what the matchup is and things like that. So my point is, I guess what I'm trying to say is those are decisions that are made in the heat and the battle. I agree with the intent of the decision. I think, you know, I clearly expected us to move the ball and at least change the field position. You know, the fact that Morgan went down and then we give him the ball back on, what was it, the 40? Or, I mean, it was, you know, that's not Morgan's fault, you know, and I don't think you go back and question that decision. But I mean, why he did it, I understand. So the way we were playing at that point, you know, defensively, we were in command of the game.
Is that the way you coach it moving forward, just that same way?
That's not to me, that's not a principle. You know, that's a situation. You know, you're playing in a game. It's raining a little bit on and off. It's you're on turf. So he played the high side caution there.
Like you didn't want to talk about this all season because you didn't want to jinx it, and it turned out that you guys were great about this. Can you kind of take us through now your decision to make the changes that you did in your program after all the injuries that mounted, and just, I mean, my gosh, I can't imagine it having gone much better other than B.J. Raji's biceps.
Yeah, no, it's been great. Changing the schedule. And frankly, the new facility was kind of the final hurdle for me to make the change. I wasn't totally sold that it would go the way it did this, you know, this year, because you know, obviously we got into the new facility after the Thanksgiving game, 2013. So I think it's important when you make a big change, it has to get off the ground. I've been around long enough to see a lot of great ideas that don't get off on the right foot, that they fail, and it's because of the introduction, how it was explained, the impression of you know why you're changing it and so forth. Because there's always going to be doubt anytime you change. You know, we've been successful with the old schedule, so I just wanted to make sure everything was lined up and ready to go. So, and with that, I think you have to give our training staff a ton of credit. Mark Lavotte was very instrumental in these changes. This was really a conversation. I mean, it's been at least 3 years. We start talking about it. The ability to start the player's neurological clock on Saturday, you know, the training regiment, the intervals. And so, I mean, all this stuff has been looked at. We have GPS data now for 3 years. So I have comparables to look back on. So, I mean, there's a lot of time that goes into scheduling and training. And we definitely felt like, you know, we hit a home run with the changes we made.
And there's still, I mean, there's still bad luck. I mean, Aberdaris and those guys. But you feel like what you've done is sustainable, that at least you've figured out some measure of, all right, we can reduce. We can't avoid everything, but we can reduce.
Well, the biggest change is the fatigue injuries. And really, you know, from my position, the things being a draft and develop program, you know, when you put this on paper, this doesn't really add up. You know, it's because you're on the field a lot less. Your high speed training is less. So where do these young players learn to develop? I mean, they don't show up here from college ready to play. So that was always the kind of the part that I couldn't go forward with it. And then, like I said, with the new facility and the crick and just our learning environment and the way we're able to utilize the crick for both teaching and also implemented with the strength and conditioning, it made it all flow. The time management was better. We started a half an hour later, so hopefully they're going to bed at the same time or earlier. They're getting more sleep, supposedly. So, I mean, you know, all these things, the hydration, you know, Adam was an awesome addition to our program. So feel very good about those changes.
Mike, you worked long and hard to develop a viable running attack, and you scored a lot of points this year. But late in the season, some of the shot plays were reduced, and a little trouble in the red zone against some of these really good defenses. What's the next step for the offense?
I mean, we'll go back through that. I mean, you know, common practice for us as coaches, and I'm sure when I get you sit down and go through all the rankings and the opinions of how the players rank the players and the situation, things that we've been through. There's emotion involved in those rankings. That's why it's important for, you know, for us as a staff to go through all the scheme evaluation where you go back and look at the whole season over and over again, you know, all the different situations, all the different concepts, and then we go back and we rank them again. And every year it stands the same. It's never how you felt right after the season. Offensively, I mean, I think it's a great point. We haven't run a quarterback movement, boot keep, and that, you know, for the last month. And I think it's really, I mean, I think you have to take your hat off to Aaron and the fact that, you know, he was so productive just from the pocket. I mean, we haven't run, and that's a shot play you're talking about. I mean, we haven't run, and we call him, you know, it's a form of a naked, it's a nude. That was a part of our offense we just had to get away from because of his injury.
You've had some pretty good continuity on your coaching staff. I mean, there's been a few changes here and there, but how important is that to you to keep the core group together for, you know, over a long period of time? Does that equate to success, do you think?
I think it definitely equates to success because, I mean, continuity is something that you're trying to have throughout your whole program. So, but, you know, also there's you know, there's devils involved with that too. You know, you have to fight complacency, and I mean, there's, you know, there's not one way to do this, but, you know, I definitely believe in the way that we do it, and continuity has definitely been a strength for us. It's a great place to work, and I think everybody realizes that, and we're given an opportunity to build something every year, and I do feel strongly that our program is built, and we'll look to adjust or, you know, change and whatever we need to if we think it's going to help us be better. But it gives us a chance to go win championships.
Mike, do you guys ever get mad, though, when they're under contract if they get blocked, or do they just know that that's your policy and that's how it's going to go?
Well, it's really part of the, you know, it's really part of the business, you know, the business discussions that you have between club and an employee. I mean, that's, you know, it's all part of, you know, the philosophy and so forth. So, I mean, it's not that no one doesn't understand it or surprised by it. So it's really, you know, it's a business situation.
Mike, I know you guys are still obviously a draft and develop team, but what do you think you guys got out of Brain and Julius and LaTroy? How do you think they helped you?
I thought Julius Peppers and LaTroy were impactful for our football teams, you know, especially on defense. You know, because, you know, I LaTroy, playing against him in a division, you know, and at his age, you know, we really felt like we were fortunate to be in a position to sign him and what he could bring. So, and, you know, his personality and his energy and, you know, and I just, I've always felt he's a heck of a football player. So, you know, I thought that was an excellent addition. And Julius Peppers, I thought from a leadership standpoint, knocked it out of the park. You talk about with Charles Woodson and his impact that he made as a free agent. and his time as a Green Bay Packer was unique and special. And I think Julius, you know, his first year did a great job.
When you guys do hit in free agency the way you do with LaTroy and with Julius, do you have to fight the urge to maybe go back to that well?
Well, I don't think you do business like that. I think you look at the whole picture. I mean, every season's its own opportunity. Every roster that you build is its own unique opportunity. So, I mean, yeah, nothing ever stays the same. That's for sure. We'll look at it like we always do. But, you know, it was kind of nice to add a couple free agents last year.
You know, go back to Oltie's question about the offense. You look at the teams you lost to, you know, Detroit and Seattle a couple times. The offense kind of came up short in those games. Mm-hmm. Do you need to get better? I realize you're led the league in scoring, but do you need to get better and maybe get more diversified? Or, you know, is this a big offseason for Devontae to be that guy that you need to kind of give you that extra weapon to maybe beat those top defenses?
Well, I mean, I would categorize our offense as diversified. I think, you know, the way we're designed, we're built to make the quarterback successful, and a healthy run game it definitely is a key component to that. And I thought this was clearly our best group from the offensive line and running backs that we've had here. So, you know, Devontae, I think for a rookie, he definitely contributed. And I'm very impressed with what he gave us. So, I really don't know what else to tell you. I think we'll look at it and. We'll make some changes offensively, and you know we feel like it's important to not just stay the same and stay on the front end of the curve. I mean, to me, the best offense in the league is one that scores the most points. So, I mean, we scored a lot of points. Maybe it didn't happen every week, but it happened most of the weeks.
Given Devontae's impact as a rookie, just knowing what you got out of him already, and Corey Linsley and Richard Rodgers, it's not always the fact that those guys come right away and can contribute. Are you excited what they could do from year one to year two, make even more of a jump in the
past? Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd say in conversation with the rookie class that I normally have with every rookie class. I mean, I thought the young guys did an excellent job. And, you know, it's important to realize that the biggest opportunity to make a jump is from year one to year two, because that's what history tells you. The way we go about the off-season program and where we put the emphasis is definitely gives that young player that opportunity to make that jump. So I'm excited about that whole class because they definitely contributed as rookies, and you know, and they'll be pushed and held to the expectation to take that jump.
Mike, how do you think the offensive line, as good as they've been in most areas, has struggled at times to get the push at the goal line to be able to run the football?
I don't agree with the struggle at the goal line. And, you know, playing on the road and you know playing at home is different down there. I mean, I think we all recognize that. So, you know, goal line. There's some things that we'll look at and we could probably get creative and doing some things there. So, but. You know, I thought our run blocking as a whole, I was impressed with it. I mean, I felt like there's a number of times that the goal line runs that we had, we were able to crease the defense and score.
I'm sorry for your loss and condolences to you and your family, but how is your health in the high-stress position that you're in?
I feel good. You know, it's good to be back, you know, at work. I mean, it's something that I think we all, you know, especially my family included. It was definitely a, you know, gut-wrenching, and you know, I think it's put all of us on alert to make sure we take a closer look at it.
Mike, how would you describe your exit interviews that you had on the whole? I guess was it positive for the most part with everyone?
Yeah, I mean the exit interviews with 73 players. You know, really the young players is you know they're you know those go they're pretty similar because they don't really know what to expect. You know, it's there's a list of questions and topics that you know I work through with each and every player, so I thought that was normal. But I thought the feedback from our veterans was the best that we've ever had. I mean, it's just you know, once again, the changes we talked about, the changes we made, and because I look at the exit interview as an opportunity for me to improve. So and your veteran players are the ones that have to give you that. Now, you know, you can't sit there and listen to every every opinion and everything. I mean, you listen to it. Actually, I write them all down, and you go back through them. But there'll definitely be some changes that occur from those discussions. That's something that's been consistent every year.
Willie, last one. Like, you know, everybody's disappointed at the way the season ended. Everybody's, you know, some people are pissed, some people are despondent, whatever. Then you kind of have a real life wake up call in a situation that means a hell of a lot more than a football game. Just, what's this week been like for you, and how do you kind of handle it? Because it's easy to come up in here and throw a bunch of fastballs at you about, well, you screwed up the 4th-and-1 call, etc. But is your perspective any different after what happened this week?
Definitely. I mean, life's precious, so it's I don't have the words or the emotional discipline to take you through it. So it was very, very difficult, and we're pressing on as a family.